Hello and welcome to the Autism Mums podcast.
I'm Victoria.
And I'm Natalie.
We're two sisters raising autistic children who know the joy, the challenges and the everyday moments.
This is a supportive space for honest conversations, practical tips, shared strength and expert advice.
Whether you're celebrating a win, surviving a meltdown or just trying to make it through the day, we're right here with you.
Join us as we share the ups, the downs, and everything in between parenting autistic children.
Today we're joined by an incredibly inspiring guest, Mark Fleming, an autistic fitness coach and founder of a fitness brand dedicated to supporting neurodivergent individuals. In this conversation, Mark shares how sport helped him regulate his own system growing up, his journey starting his own business, and his work with the Special Olympic athletes, plus the transformations he's seen in his clients. Hello and welcome to the podcast, Mark. It's lovely to get the chance to talk to you again. Can I start by asking you, has exercise always been important in your life?
Yeah, I grew up loving sports. I was a 3 varsity letter athlete in high school. And I think part of the reason why is that it regulated my system, is that it was ingrained in me that if I was active, I was able to focus on schooling a little bit better and being able to deal with all the anxiety and stuff that comes with being autistic.
That's really good. That's really interesting to know. Can you talk us through your journey to starting a fitness brand in 2017?
Shortly after getting my master's, I didn't know the direction I was going in life. Ended up working for an ABA company as a behavior assistant. And through that, and also being a coach for Special Olympics, because I wanted to be involved in athletics somehow, I noticed a startling trend that these kids that I was working with that had motor deficiencies, they seem to be popping up in the older generations that I worked with in Special Olympics. And so I knew there was a physical activity gap. And since I was couldn't go anywhere with ABA because I needed to go back to school if I wanted to progress in that field, I decided it was probably best with my academic background in exercise science to try to help this population become more physically active. And I started out of the trunk of my car, and that's how that got started.
Wow. That's a great story. So you started your fitness brand in 2017. So that means, what was the pandemic like for you?
Yeah, the pathway with that is that I did in-home for 2 years and got a studio in 2019, which probably wasn't a great idea, hindsight being 2020. Because the next year the pandemic happened, which having to close down. Thankfully, I lived in Florida at the time. Florida was a little more open to businesses being opened up and everything. I was shut down for almost 3 months, which was devastating. I had to take out loans and everything to keep it afloat. I had to move back home with my parents. Then dealing with a disabled population, it was hit or miss. Some people were like, yes, we're back. But a lot of the population, due to having chronic issues, autoimmune disorders, stuff like that, was very weary of going back into the public, having to go virtual and do things a little differently in the studio than I did before, just to manage all of that craziness.
That's good that you did manage and it's now in the past.
It was crazy for a little bit. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely. You've coached for the Special Olympics, which is for individuals with intellectual disabilities. It's separate from Paralympics. What was that experience like for you?
It was interesting, but rewarding. So with my background, there's not a lot of volunteers that have my background. So I was able to expand on the area that I was in so that the individuals had great success. I think every athlete that I coached that went to state games, which you weren't guaranteed to go to state games, it was a raffle, but every athlete I went got gold at state. So it was very rewarding that way. And I was able to introduce some concepts and things at the local level that they didn't think about because, again, I having the sports background, I was able to understand things a little differently than volunteers that didn't have that. Very rewarding that I got to help these athletes improve to a point where they were succeeding, and then rewarding that I could help the coaches as well, being able to understand things from a different aspect. And then the parents got to see an autistic individual that understood these concepts and being able to kind of motivate them and inspire them to know that their children weren't just didn't have no routes in life.
That must have been really rewarding.
Yeah, it was a really great 2 or 3 years.
You've mentioned some of the benefits to you that you've found for exercise. Is that kind of the general benefits that you see in exercise in autistic children and teenagers and adults?
Yeah, didn't harp on these, but the main ones are helping with sensory regulation, helping with cognitive functioning. So being able to sit down and being able to work in a classroom a whole lot better. And one of the main benefits most people are concerned with is behavior. And it does help with behavior. It helps improve situations and remove stress to the point where stimming isn't 24/7, because there's some individuals that if you just leave them alone, they're just going to stim 24/7. So seeing those benefits, because obviously if you're not stimming, you're not stressed out, which means you can do other things in life and be able to enjoy life better. So those are the big ones for the autistic population.
Just something I'm curious about. Do any of your clients come to you and they get a lot of pain? My son often complains of leg pain when he walks too much, and sometimes I wonder if more exercise would help. I think he's particularly sensitive to pain.
Exercise is going to help, because if you're walking, your muscles are getting used. And then if you're not walking a lot normally, then the brain's going to say this is different. And it's going to send these signals to tell you not to do it, because the brain, everybody's brain wants homeostasis, which is just a set routine, set pattern, so that it understands what's going on. So when you break that by either exercise or walking or doing anything, that the brain's going to go, hey, let's stop this. So I haven't had anybody that said that, but yet every autistic individual is different. So when it comes to that, I've had people that have been sensitive to like heat and stuff like that. And so we'll work outside, gradually increase the intensity so that sensitivity goes down, because you're working the nervous system and getting it used to those areas.
I also wonder, do any of your clients have difficulties with food?
Yeah, I've had clients on both ends of the dietary spectrum, some that don't eat, some that eat too much. And so obviously, exercising, you're burning calories. So the brain is going to want more naturally, right? It's going to say, hey, let's eat more so that we can have that energy for this. And then working with clients that maybe eat too much and have to understand that they're eating enough, their brain's just telling them, hey, you need to eat more because you're doing more than you're used to. It has benefits on both sides.
Oh God, that's really interesting. Thank you. Can you talk us through some of the improvements you've seen in your clients?
Numerous. So one of my clients, we were able to reduce not knee symptoms. So when the client was walking, both knees were touching. He was a preteen the time I started working with him. And thankfully, before he got his growth spurt, because he had about a 6, 7 inch growth spurt, we eliminated that, so he didn't need surgery. I had a client that, due to some weird Just weird things, had some gastrointestinal, like he would swallow air, which limited his capacity to do a lot of things. Working with me, working on proper breathing techniques while we were exercising, he was able to reduce that drastically, improving heart function and all that. And numerous clients, I had a client during the pandemic lose 130 pounds, had just all across the spectrum. I even noticed, even though I didn't document it very well, I did notice some of my clients that were nonverbal being able to verbalize a little bit more as they were exercising.
Wow, that's really good. Amazing.
Yeah, when you're exercising, you're sending all these neurons to the farthest parts of your body, right? So it's working extra hard to do that, thus being able to verbalize a little. At least in my mind, there's no research to back that up, but I noticed it.
Very interesting. Is exercise helpful if you struggle with your fine motor skills as well?
So obviously, individuals with fine motor skills go to OT to work on their fine motor. And while you may see it as playing these silly little games and whatnot, they're actually doing exercises. So from my aspect, I wasn't able to, due to scope of practice, being able to play little games and stuff like that. But I would use different weights and stuff like that would work on that. And thus you would see little improvements here and there.
Do you work with clients who have ADHD as well? I'm just interested from the point of view, my son has ADHD and is autistic. And I often wonder how I can support him because he can say he's really hyper and needs to do exercise, but he also needs a bit of support recognizing when it's time to stop. And that can be really difficult for me as his mum to recognize when it's time to stop before he gets overstimulated.
Yes, definitely worked with plenty of clients with ADHD. They actually did a scientific study that looked at ultra marathoners and found out the vast majority of people that ran ultra marathons, 50 miles and more during a race, that they had ADHD because it kind of soothes the mind. So there's a lot of research that shows that individuals with ADHD benefit greatly because their minds are racing. They don't know where to focus on, and exercise calms the brain down, allows it to focus more. And there's a lot of research also with autistic individuals that shows that when you exercise before, say, schoolwork or anything like that, that it tremendously helps with focus and memory and all that stuff. That's one of the things I dealt with was telling a client, hey, this is what we're doing, this is how much we're doing, and being able to stop them and recognizing that stuff. Little advice, just keep it in little short bursts here and there, and being, hey, okay, let's refocus, go to something else. Because obviously, having ADHD and being autistic, you can almost stim on the exercise because now it feels good. And now we're going to do too much. So, being able to say, hey, we're going to do this and have that schedule there for them to understand all that.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you. If you've got a client or a potential client, perhaps who is not used to exercising, yeah, I'm thinking of my son. What's a good way to ease into it?
Just do little bits here and there. Something that I would do with my clients is because you have to progressively overload, which means you have to increase the weight, you have to increase the amount of reps and all this stuff to gain benefits, is I would do it in such small increments that they wouldn't know that it was being increased. Because again, we're dealing with individuals that like consistency, like things the same. And so during a span of a couple weeks, I would at the end be like, hey, you probably don't notice this, but you were doing this 6 weeks ago. And they'd be like, no way. Yeah, you were, because I would move the bar so slowly that a lot of people think you have to sweat, you have to be sore, you got to do all this stuff. But when you're dealing with someone that has a low pain tolerance, or someone that doesn't like sweating, or all this stuff, like you have to work around that. And you got to do even just 5 extra minutes of walking at a time, or even less than that, can be greatly beneficial, even if it doesn't seem like it, because we see these people doing marathons and all this stuff, and we're like, oh, we have to do that. No, it's very small increments.
That's very useful to know. Thank you. At what kind of age is it all right to lift weights?
Really, any age under the guidance of a certified personal trainer, someone that knows what they're doing. Obviously, if you're under puberty, the gains are not going to be seen as dramatically as someone that is more grown, just because they don't have the hormones to back all that up. So when you're working with someone that's under that age of puberty, it's just more wise to use lower weights and just get into the rhythm of working out and getting into that habit so that when they're able to lift heavier weights and do more due to those hormonal changes, then it's not as cumbersome.
That's great advice. I also read that you served as the first autistic chair for the constituency board for the Centre for Autism and Related Disabilities at the University of South Florida.
Correct, yes. So there is a statewide kind of organization in Florida called the Center for Autism Related Disabilities. They have, I believe, six or seven offices throughout the state that each office serves a certain amount of counties in the state. And so they've been around for almost 30 years now, I think. And they did have a kind of in their letters of organization, whatever the, I can't think of the proper word right now, but where they would at least have one person that was autistic on the board. And when I joined, it was just one, and it seemed like it was almost a token kind of position, not due to their fault or anything. It's just how it worked out. And so when I got on board, one of my big goals was to increase that, because obviously just having one out of 7 to 10 board members isn't good. We need more. I improved that to three or four, and then I became vice chair. And then the next year, I decided, hey, let's go all out, go chair. Once I was chair, I got board membership to 50% autistic. We had our biggest fundraiser event that they had in the longest time due to my leadership. So it was a really rewarding kind of year for me and for them.
It sounds like you're doing so many fantastic things. What's your vision for the next stage of your career in business?
Some of the states have special needs scholarships for kids that are homeschooled. So right now I've been applying to multiple states, because when I was in Florida, that was one of my biggest pulls, was from the scholarship. If I can pull from that, then I can help more people. The feelers are always out for full-time employment with a organization.
That sounds fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on and talking to us today, Mark. Where's the best place to connect with you?
Either Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all, if you look up my name, Mark Fleming, most of the handles are some variation of official Dr. Mark.
Fabulous. Okay, we'll put links to all of those in the show notes. And thank you so much again.
Thank y'all. It was a pleasure talking to y'all.
Thanks for joining us today on the Autism Mums podcast. We hope you have found a little support, a little solidarity, and a reminder that you are not in this alone. If you enjoyed the episode, we'd love it if you'd follow the show and share it with another parent or carer who might need to hear it. And if you've got a story or a moment you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you at www.theautismmums.com. Until next time, take care.